Well, I'm going to read our verse one more time, and then we're going to get started, okay? But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So we are so excited to have the Darrington family here with us today. My friend Kathy and I are excited to be up on the stage with Lacey and Skylar. You want to say hi?
Hi, we're so glad to be here. We're so thankful for all of you coming today.
Skylar, would you like to say hi?
Hello.
And my friend Kathy Patrick. So,
hello, everyone.
So I just want to open by sharing this story with you. Recently, I was at a prayer meeting, and one of the things that we were praying for was Christian camps, because, you know, they have such an impact on young people's lives. And one of the people that was there praying shared this story, and I wanted to share it today. He said he was at a chapel service, and the speaker was talking about Christian camps, and he said, you know, stand up if you've ever gone to a Christian camp. Stand up if you know someone who's came to faith at a Christian camp and their life was changed at a Christian camp. Stand up if you've ever served at a Christian camp. And he said, before the speaker was even done, the whole room was standing. And I know if the Darrington family was there that day, they would be standing.
That's right.
And so many from our church, Calvary Chapel of Philadelphia, would be standing on that day too. For over 30 years, every summer, our high school youth group has gone to the camp at Old Mill, and it all started in the mid-90s. Calvary Philly's high school youth group began going there, and they were leading these like vacation Bible school style day camps for the kids who lived in the city of Coatesville. And after the first summer we went, everyone in the youth group couldn't wait to go back. And year after year, we have kept going back because it wasn't only like really great ministry for the kids from the city, but it was a real source of blessing for the students in our youth group. And we saw really great fruit from that ministry. And it has never stopped. My husband, Brian, went to the first one in 1995. And our son, Brian, is going to be going this summer. And he's excited to go. And as we prepared for this, Kathy and I got together and we realized, wait, this is where we met. We met at camp.
Yeah, we did. We did. And it's funny, I'm just going to add a little story, a little snippet of a story to that. The year that I was there, I was the bus driver at the camp, and I drove up and down those hilly streets of Coatesville, picked up the kids in the morning, and I took them home in the evening. And Veronica and I got assigned to the coveted air-conditioned cabin at the top of the hill. It was like the Taj Mahal. So I'm sure. So we got that coveted Taj Mahal cabin with the air conditioning, and I'm sure they wanted to keep Veronica happy because she was actually in her third trimester.
Or out of labor,
girl.
Yeah.
And I was the bus driver, so I think they really wanted to keep us happy. So I'm pretty sure that's how we ended up there in that coveted cabin. So we had to share a double bed, and we were getting ready to bed, and I remember she asked, are you sure it's okay to share? And I said, absolutely, of course, I grew up with sisters. And she's like, oh, so did I. And I said, oh, I hope I don't snore. And I just remember falling asleep giggling. So, yes. Camp was fun and very memorable. So Lacey and Skylar, it is so awesome to be able to sit here and just spend this time with you guys so you can share this amazing story with us. So, Lacey, we heard, and I was talking to your husband earlier, and he said that he went to Christian camp. So he grew up going to Christian camp. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So he grew up going to Camp Stewart, which is a camp along the Hill Country in Hunt, Texas. And he went there as a little boy. And at that time, you know, he'd tell me the stories and how much it helped him grow as a Christian and as a man and how important it was. And I used to think, well, I'm never going to send my kid off to summer camp, you know, like I don't. And then my oldest son, he turned 8. And I had two, had Skylar and Clark, and he turned, and I was like, please take him. Like, please, he needs to be outside running and playing. And that's how that started. So, and we were able to put Skylar on a waiting list for Camp Mystic when she was a baby. Our goddaughters went there and were assigned to go there. And so I thought, well, we'll put her down there at the same time, and it'll be a lot of fun. They can be down there together. So.
That's awesome. That was my next question. Tell us how you decided to send Skylar to Camp Mystic, and you had to be on a waiting list. That's amazing.
The girls' camps have a waiting list. That's how, like, it's generational. I didn't grow up going there, but you literally have to put the list, their name on the list when they're born. And you're like, how am I supposed to know what she's going to be like when she's that age and what she's going to enjoy? And it was a perfect fit for her. And the boys' camps don't have a waiting list, just in case anybody's interested in that. And but the girls' camps do, and they were so popular that they even continued to build more camps so that they could, they had more want for that. And so they expanded so that they were able to accommodate more families and more campers that didn't have to put their name on a list at such a young age.
Beautiful. So, Lacey, when Skylar would come home, what was the thing that she was most excited to tell you about?
Oh gosh, everything. Like all of her, all the fun that she had. She, all the things, all the activities that she did and
getting stung by scorpions.
Getting stung. Yes, there are scorpions down there. Just all the stories and her friends and the fun and the games and the sisterhood, because she has two brothers. She has no sisters. The sisterhood, and Christ, you know, they're Christ, sisters in Christ that she came to know and came to be with year after year, the same cabin. And they just, we're our literal best friends, like forever, no matter what.
So when she was away at camp, what was the thing that you saw most about her spiritual growth? Was there something in particular?
You know, when she was away, I missed her like crazy. And we would write each other letters every single day. And we got to see pictures every single day. And the girls, you know, I wasn't even aware of how much was being poured into them. And of all the things that I did as a mom trying to prepare her and trying to teach her about Christ, I was even amazed at the stories that I heard about the chapel and the Bible studies that they would have and the worship that would go on down there. It was just absolutely amazing.
So when you were sending her off to camp, that little step of letting go, tell us about that.
That was always hard. But like I said, we got to do letters every day. She would write every day. I would write every day, and pictures. And so I could see how much fun every day that she was having. And even though I missed her, you know, how could I keep her from having all this fun? You know, like she was having a blast. So I would certainly not want to hold her back from that.
Yeah, of course. And it's like a step of faith to let our kids go, for sure.
Yeah.
Skylar, how old were you when you started going to Camp Mystic?
I think like maybe 9.
9. The first time you went, were you excited, nervous, both? How were you feeling?
I never seen the camp before, so I was nervous at first, but whenever I got on the bus, there were so many people that like were also excited to go to camp, so it made me excited because they were telling me all about the activities and the tribes and the games and everything.
Tell us about the first real friend you met at camp.
Her name was Kirby, uh-huh. But we weren't very close. I was kind of like scared my first couple years of camp, maybe the first 2 years. My first real ever friend, her name was Maddie, and she lives in Washington, D.C., and I never really get to see her besides at camp, but that was my first ever friend, and we did everything together and all the activities.
So we heard that you would rather go to Camp Mystic than Disney World. That means it's fun. So yeah. Tell us what you looked forward to there.
I just look forward to praising and worshiping with all my friends. And Disney World has a lot of lines and everything. So so I would rather go to camp because you don't have to wait in line for activities.
You're totally right. What parts of the camp helped you grow spiritually? Was it the Bible study, scripture reading? Tell us about that.
On Sundays, we would have something called Chapel Hill, and we would go up to like the very top of the hill where there's something called an old rugged cross, and the owners of the camp would speak, and just like we would sing worship songs and everything, and we would praise with all of our friends, and that got me really close to Jesus. I'd also bring my Bible, and we would highlight important parts. And later, after the day like ends, we would go and we'd gather in groups with our counselors, like towards nighttime, and we'd go look back in our Bibles and read like what we learned and everything, and say like our favorite part about what happened today.
So we were talking before this, the night of the flood, no one really knew it was, you know, coming. Lacey and Skylar, can you tell us what that night was like there?
Yeah, it was raining the first couple of days. It was kind of like, we were still doing activities and everything, but it was just like raining a lot. And I feel like those were also really important moments in my life though, because we have something called, it was like, it's where we gather together with our tribes and we basically chant like our, like chant, what's it called? Those songs and everything to win tribe points at the end of the like year and everything. And it was raining one day. And normally we don't look forward to that because it gets boring sometimes. Like we get yelled at a lot and we have to yell and chant and everything. But that was like the best moment of camp was whenever it was raining and we were just slipping and running into the river and everything. That was really fun. But yeah, the night of the flood, we didn't know what was coming, and it was just raining. We thought it was just like minor rain, but whenever like the flood came, we were all just like really confused because we didn't know what was going to happen and everything.
So you went to bed and then you got woken up to tell us about that, getting woken up.
Yeah. Okay, so we woke up and it was around 3 a.m. Everyone was turning on the lights, and I was pretty angry because I was trying to sleep and everyone was turning the lights on. And the counselor told us to put our duffel bags on top of our trunks, which had all of our stuff in it. That's whenever we started getting scared because we didn't know like what was going to happen. And that's whenever the old owner of the camp, Dick Eastland, knocked on a door and told us to pack into his car. And he took us to this really tall building called Rec Hall, which is two stories.
Okay. So, Lacey, How did you find out that Skylar was in trouble? What was that moment that you found out?
So it was the morning of July 4th, and it was about 7 in the morning. I got up out of bed, and I was just looking through my phone, and I saw all these alerts, like weather alerts, that were pretty negative looking. And I started, you know, getting some messages from our cabin groups. We have a cabin group that we text to all the moms, and we kind of started to realize that there were reports of children missing and that it was, you know, a pretty bad flood. It was about 9 a.m. that we received a text message confirming that Skylar was safe. And she was already, by the time the sun had come up, she was already fed, clothed, dry, safe. But I didn't know that. So from the hours of 7 to 9, I was starting to get a little bit concerned, but I tried not to let my mind wander too far. And I tried to, you know, listen to the facts and hear, you know, what was happening and stay in touch as much as we could. It was really hard because the communication was almost totally out. So it was very difficult. So we were just kind of any information that we could get or get passed along, we were just trying to share with each other and to keep each other, you know, strong.
So, Lacey, when you were going through those 2 hours, like from 7 to 9, not really knowing what was going on, what did the Lord do? Like, how did the Lord help you when you first found out?
I just try not to worry. Like, I always try to think, you know, don't let your mind go, you know, too far with it. Like, it's always okay to be concerned or to, you know, to be anxious for a minute or two, but to let it pass and just to pray about it and to pray for the situation and for what others must have been going through at that moment. And, you know, just wait, to wait patiently for the details and the answers. We didn't have all the facts, you know, and some of the reports were coming in that everybody was fine and everything was safe. And some of them were saying that there were children missing, there were people missing. And so we just had to wait. We just had to sit and wait, await information and just hope for the best.
Yeah. You know, when we were writing out these questions, I was thinking about, you know, when we're afraid, we have to keep looking to the Lord for our help. And then I was reminded of the scripture in Isaiah 26:3. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, waited on you, because he trusts in you. And then Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. So you were doing that, and that is...
Trying my best.
Yeah.
Trying my best.
Right.
Yes.
So what did you do that helped you depend on the Lord during this whole time?
I just prayed. I kept my focus on him. I tried to tune out, you know, things that weren't necessary at the moment. I tried to stay positive. And I tried to stay hopeful, and I just prayed. I just prayed that everything would turn out the way that it should. And, I prayed for everyone down there, and, you know, I just, I try not to let fear overtake me.
All of the things that Lauren just taught us. Yeah.
Lacey, can you kind of describe for us how fast the water was rising and the storm?
So, the water rose about a foot per minute. It was very, very fast. It was what we would categorize as a flash flood. We had it at about 30 minutes was about all the time that there was. And it was the pitch black of night. And one of the worst thunderstorms that the town had ever seen, the thunder, the lightning, the rain. It was so loud that you could barely hear each other speak. And, the wall of water was between 30 to 50 feet that came down, which would be equivalent to like a Category 5 storm surge or a tsunami. And it came without warning. It came in the dead of night. Nobody knew it was coming. Nobody was warned. Nobody had a report. They had very, very little time to act. And I do believe that the people responded and acted the fastest as they possibly could have in that situation.
So, Skylar, we heard that you were brought up to higher ground for safety, and we heard that you guys were in a building and the girls were all singing songs together and praying. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So we have this song that we sing at camp. Kind of forgot what it was called.
Pass It On?
Oh, yeah, Pass It On. And basically, like, I think it was the other side that started it, because at the top there was like a whole like rectangle kind of, and it was the other side. I think they were the younger campers that started singing it, and we were just singing it along with them, and we had like a whole bunch of faith songs that we would sing, and it just made stuff like less scary in that moment.
So you guys were like praising and worshiping in there. You know, I was thinking about this. It's so... praise and worship in the middle of our fear or our sorrow or our grief is an act of faith. We're doing something. We're turning our thoughts to God. And we see David do this all through the Psalms. And I, you know, wrote this question down to ask you guys, how do you think God helped you? But I kept thinking about it, and I realized I just... want to say the way he helped you was he sent a man to rescue you. He sent a man who knew what to do and had the ability to help you. And that is a really great picture of what God did for us. He sent a man to rescue us from sin and death. And Jesus was the man who knew what to do and had the ability to help. And he was willing to help. Did you hear those Coast Guard helicopters coming? Or do you remember hearing anything that made you realize, like, we're going to get out of here?
Yeah, so it was after the flood. I didn't really hear anything, but we watched the water go down, and it was me, my best friend Maddie, Caitlin, Cece, and Maggie, and we were all just like piled up, laying like on top of each other, kind of just to keep close to each other, because we were just trying to stay positive and everything. And whenever I saw the water go down, that was whenever I knew that we were going to be okay. And after, like, the water went down and the police officers came and checked everything was fine to go down and make sure it was safe, then we went down and we got food and, like, cereal and everything. And we went to Camp Mystic Cypress, which is Camp Mystic, another one. But they're the relatives of the main, like, camp. But it's higher grounds. So we went up there, and whenever, like, after maybe 6 hours, we saw the helicopters come down, and that's whenever we knew that everything was going to be fine. We're going to get home safely.
So now that you knew that you're going to be safe and sound, tell us what that moment was like when you first saw each other.
Well, I just couldn't wait to get my arms around her. My husband and I, we drove about 4 hours. We waited for instructions. It continued to flood. The roads were flooded. So we got there as soon as we could when they told us we could, when it was safe to come. And I just put my arms around her and I just hugged her. And she was dry. She was fed. She was loved. She was in a way protected against everything with, you know, she hadn't really seen the actual destruction or the everything that had happened. She just saw the water go down, and she knew she was tired. She was ready to take a nap. She was pretty tired.
And ready to brush my teeth.
And ready to brush her teeth. There was no running water, so she was excited to do that.
So when you guys got home, what was the first thing that you did besides brush your teeth?
Take a shower. Yeah.
I thank God that she was home and that she was safe. And I was a little bit sad that the summer did not turn out the way that we'd hoped, but I was thankful that she was home safe with us.
I can't even begin to imagine. So, Lacey, we heard that you helped Skylar write the song Mystic Hallelujah. Could you tell us how you wrote this song together?
So we were in my car, and it was a few weeks after the flood, and we were very sad when we heard about what had happened to Hunt, what would happen to all of our friends. And so it was just hard. It was heartbreaking, and my heart was still there. I couldn't wait to get back. You know, I wanted to hug everybody there and tell them that we love them. And we were in the car, and my 8-year-old son, Clark, was singing. He loves Pentatonix, and he was singing Pentatonix. I don't know if you've heard of them. He was singing Mary, Did You Know? And we were like, Clark, it's not Christmas time. And then I was laughing because I was like, you know, there's Christmas in July. I was like, maybe it's Christmas in July. And then he started singing Hallelujah. And I don't know why, but in my head, it just sounded and felt right. Like, it just really described kind of how I was feeling at that moment. And, you know, we had thought it was a good idea for Skylar to write down her feelings and her thoughts in a journal, you know, thinking she might forget this, and it would be a way to kind of work through her feelings and everything that had happened. And so she, in about 10, 15 minutes, wrote, you know, went home and wrote the lyrics to Hallelujah. And I kind of looked over it and fixed a couple of things. And then I was like, let's sing it. Let's record it. And let's just get it out. It just felt really good to put into words what we were feeling at the moment.
Almost like a healing balm. Yeah. So I know, Skylar, that you're going to sing this song for us soon, but could each of you share with us which part of the song is your favorite and why?
Maybe They Say the Water Overcame, because, but I will never forget their names, because just whenever the water went down, we were all relieved, but I'll also never forget the people who passed away from the flood.
I love that they were washed in Jesus' blood. the children there and the town, they love Jesus there. And I felt like, you know, it was sad that it happened in such a beautiful place, but I was also thankful that they knew who Jesus was and that they loved him. And also, that we are a part of Mystic Herd. We spread his light, his love, his word, the holy and the broken. Hallelujah. I think they're both beautiful to God. The beauty, the joy and the pain is beautiful to him. It's a gift and an offering. And, the Mystic's motto was, always
be kind one to another,
be kind one to another. But there's a light that shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Mm. That was always their Bible verse. And that light is Jesus Christ. And, their new motto is now be the light. Mm. And I love that. I love that they haven't forgotten, their message, what their message was and what their message continues to be.
Yeah, that's so sweet. So those lyrics really helped you to remember God's character, mm-hmm. who God is.
I have a question. Lacey, what did you do for Skylar, your family, your other children that helped her be able to trust the Lord through this? In other words, how was she prepared through her childhood for this experience?
Well, first, I want to say it's never too late to introduce your child to who Jesus is. And I also want to say that it's never too early either. So if you have the opportunity, you know, to get Jesus in as many different places from as many different people that they can, I say go for it. You know, they started at children's, you know, Mother's Day Out programs that were Christ-centered, and they had a small opportunity to go to a Christian school, a Christian private school for a little while. You know, read your Bible, read them the Bible stories and talk to them about it. It starts, you know, from baby books all the way up. That's age appropriate in a way that they can understand. Take them to church with you, pray together, read your Bible together, listen to praise and worship songs and sing the songs together. You know, all of it comes together. Although even when I say all those things, she'll still tell you that going to Camp Mystic and being at a Christian summer camp poured more into her than any of all those things. So I think they all put together make a big difference.
What would you say to parents who struggle with anxiety over their child's safety or anxiety over the future of their child?
I say faith over fear. Mm-hmm. And I say that God has a plan for them and he knows that plan and it's good. And that you can't live your life in fear and you can't be afraid. The Bible says it for 364 times, do not be afraid. And I don't think it would say that if he didn't mean it, you know? So just trusting God, you know, when you're a parent, and every parent gets to a point when they know you're not in control, God's in control, and just to roll with that the best that you can and pray over them.
So, Skylar, kind of the same question, but from like a young person's point of view, what would you say to young people who struggle with anxiety about danger or worry about the future?
I would say to keep praying about it, read your Bible, go to Christian camps, and just stay close to God, because God just really helps you through all that, and yeah.
All right, so before we close, we heard that you met Scott Ruskin, the United States Coast Guard rescue swimmer who rescued Skylar. She was one of the 165 people saved that day. Can you share that story with us, please?
So I was very excited to meet him.
He had a cool mustache.
He did have a cool mustache. But these young men, they were like in their 20s, you know, so humble, so kind, so giving. It was just an honor to hug them and to thank them for what they had done that day. And I was overwhelmed again when I heard that they were talking about how they flew in from Corpus into Hunt and that their mission had almost been aborted 3 times because of the storm. And when I heard that, of course, I started, you know, I was like, Scott, like, don't cry. And I tried not to, but I was just, to hear that they were using Google Maps and, you know, their instruments had failed. it was a powerful message of how God got them safely through the storm. And and they were just amazing. I mean, we just, if you get a chance to thank a first responder or a military, you know, veteran or an active military, do, because they work so hard every day and they expect nothing in return. So we're just really grateful that we got to say thank you.
And a great mustache.
So Skylar's going to sing two songs for us today. The first song is her Mystic Hallelujah that her and her mom wrote together. And then the second song Skylar is going to sing, she sung at the U.S. Armed Forces Ball in Houston. This song covers some of the same themes as our verse in Isaiah 41 about facing difficult days without fear. This song is called Miracle, and as Skylar sings this song, we can think about the miracle of her rescue and also the miracle that God has redeemed us. He has rescued us.